Leviticus 19:1 through 20 through 27. To be holy is a commandment, as we read in Leviticus 19:1 and 2 and 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. We are to be set aside people. And if that means requires us to be different than our neighbor, then so be it. To be made holy, it must be separated from its context, clearly defined by Elohim. He is a sanctifier. However, somehow we are to contribute to that holiness. The answer lies in the repeated formula of our blessing, who has sanctified us with his commandments. Within every blessing, whether it's a tzitzit, the tefillin, etc., we have that formula. We might object and say, I am sanctified by Messiah's blood, or by faith in Messiah, or by the blood of Messiah, or by his Ruach HaKodesh, and all that is true. Our separation is not by virtue of our own heroic achievement. Rather, we have been set apart by Messiah. He is the one who sanctifies and sets apart and makes holy. However, sanctity is a corporate and cooperative process. Elohim sanctified the Sabbath, and yet he tells us to keep it holy. Sanctity is definition, it is borders, it is limits, and we have a role to play in maintaining this sanctity. For example, the sanctity of Sabbath is not dependent upon us at all. If we profane her for 24 hours, her actual sacred status is not at all diminished. She, or the Sabbath, has been declared sacred by Elohim, and there is nothing we can do to disrupt that sanctity. We can profane her in regard to our own participation. By profaning the Sabbath, we rob only ourselves of experiencing her sanctity. So, too, with our own sanctity, we are declared holy and separate on basis of our redemption of Messiah. It arises from Messiah's righteousness, his sacrifice, and his blood. Yet we rob ourselves of experiencing that sanctity by stepping outside of its bounds. If we cross the boundaries and demarcations of our own holiness, we rob ourselves of the sanctity which with Messiah has invested us. The boundaries of sanctity are none other than the commandments of Elohim. To cross them is to step outside of sanctity. To keep them is to remain within sanctity. In Leviticus 19:1, this section was proclaimed when the people were assembled, so the principle of holiness concerns all parts of the community, and each person is called upon to work towards this ideal to the best of his or her means and abilities. The presence of the entire assembly, moreover, signifies that the ultimate goal of holiness can be achieved only through the collective efforts of the whole nation. Each individual, of course, we can reach a degree of holiness, but that personal effort will remain of only relative importance since the majority of the basic laws of Torah depend on the participation of the community. Examples are congregational sacrificial offerings, or the gatherings on festivals, or the duties of social welfare, or the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel. The highest perfection cannot be achieved in isolation or in solitude. It requires communion with others. The glory of Elohim can be revealed only in the presence of a multitude, according to Numbers 10:33-36. We see a profound lesson here in Numbers 10. Whenever the ark was moved, Moshe prayed for Elohim's presence at the head of his people to ensure that their enemies would be driven away. And when the ark halted, Moshe prayed for Elohim to preside over the daily life of his people. Moshe knew that in its journeyings over the world, the ark symbolizing Torah would encounter countless enemies. He knew only Elohim's constant help would keep the Torah and its upholders from succumbing to their attacks. As long as Torah is borne on the shoulders of the people, it will endure. The entire history of Israel, which is intimately connected with the destiny of the Torah, is symbolically placed before us. In Numbers 10:35-36, it highlights that making Elohim's will our will in every detail is the ultimate goal. And therefore, these two verses offer a true guide for the nation and us, not only in the desert, but for all time. So, in this great holiness code, light is shed on the nature of fellowship, or should I say, followship. It can be seen in two different ways of understanding. First, you read the command in terms of interpersonal relations. Secondly, you see the command in an impersonal term. The second interpretation is only possible because of a fundamental belief in Judaism, that all Jews are responsible for one another. There is a fundamental principle called critical followership. It is an active questioning and argument for the sake of heaven. The way we learn is conceived as an active debate. Even a teacher and disciple, even a father and son, when they set to study Torah together, become enemies to one another. But they do not move from there until they have become beloved to one another. Part of our halakha is our walking in holiness. It is in that walking together, studying together, arguing together, loving together, where we learn how to be like Yeshua. We need people who challenge the conventional wisdom, resist the fashionable consensus, and who disturb the intellectual peace. To follow the person in front of you is as dangerous to humans as it is to ants. To stand apart and be willing to answer is the task of a critical follower. We must not be afraid to challenge each other. We are responsible to each other, because holiness can only become a reality within a community who takes it seriously. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study, every Saturday at 11 a.m. for Sabbath service at Lana Junior Ministries, 612 North Main Street in Blackstone, Virginia. Or watch us live on Facebook Live or Lana Junior Ministries YouTube or www.lojministries.org or download the new Lion of Junior Ministries app and look for the logo for 24/7 access to the ministry. Today is the day to come and gather as His holy people to His holy space on His holy day. Come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Surrender yourself to the Messiah and give Him all that is due Him. See you at the altar. Shalom Aleichem.